Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, check us out. Chuck D, Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DOC, the Diggy Diggy motherfucking God.
Yo, what's up? This is your boy, C-Man.
What up, yo? This is E-Shot.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
It's your boy, DJ Paul KOL from 36 Block.
Young Busy Bone.
Vice One.
This your man, Mastermind of Hellraiser.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Red.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross, and you're listening to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
It's the Murder Master Music Show. Hip-hop is dead, but we don't resurrect it. You follow what lame stream says, but here it gets rejected. If you wearing tight jeans, don't expect to get respected. I'm from a time where wearing black was always on your checklist. From a time where faggots get checked if they reckless. From a time where if you got too much style, we snatch your necklace. This real shit here, Illuminati, fuck the industry. We represent the street and they respect our street ministries. Take no shorts and cut the middleman, literally. This hip-hop savior, our birth scenes like nativity. This a place where no one sells out for relevability. And the masses can get a chance to explore more creativity. You gotta be kidding me. If you call that hip-hop, niggas with hot shades and fluorescent flip-flops. We killin' Big Brother, cause we know he watched. You don't like what I'm doing, then you can suck mine. Oh, and you don't
stop. It's the Murder Master Music Show. 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 It's the Murder Master Music Show.
Music Show, episode 340 motherfucking five. Let me bring out my co-host Mac J. Bring out the homie Brandon. What's up, fellas?
Yo. What y'all up to?
Enjoying this, almost the end of January night. You know what I'm saying? Tonight is episode 345, Murder Master Music Show, UGSForLife.com. We got a couple special guests. One of them's on the line right now, man. Pittsburgh Pat. What's up, Pat?
Yes, sir.
Chopping it up with you, second half of the show. You know what I'm saying? Man, you contribute a lot to hip hop, man. And when Mac J said we should interview Brandon on the show, I didn't hesitate. I said, why the fuck not? This guy does a lot for a lot of people, especially us. You know what I'm saying? And, We definitely want to highlight you, brother, so thank you for everything you do. Also tonight on the show, man, thanks to you. We got a wrestling legend. I mean, I'll put it to you this way. For those of you that like wrestling, this guy's got a forehead like Abdullah the Butcher. It's all carved the fuck up like a fucking pumpkin, and he's ready for blood and guts. The Rude Boy. Tell us a little bit about Rude Boy before I bring him on.
Man, Rude Boy is somebody that has been a part of Psychopathic Records. Anybody that knows anything about ICP, the Rude Boy is probably the most respected person, definitely one of the most respected people on their label. Definitely huge into the wrestling scene, and he's wrestled a lot of legendary people, had a lot of legendary matches. And now they got a nice little show on Psychopathic Radio. Him and Kevin Gill. Him and Kevin Gill and Violent J's brother, John Steady. They got a cool little show going there. So
that's what's up.
Hell yeah, man. And I want to salute all the radio shows out there that's doing this shit for the right reasons. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to everybody that's actually, you know what I'm saying, putting in some legwork, that's not trying to just, you know, sack grab other motherfuckers.
Piggyback.
You know, do your own thing. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to do your own thing, I got nothing but respect and love for what you do. and I support it 100%. Without further ado, let's bring on the one and only Rude Boy. I believe this is him. Mr. Rude Boy, is that you?
What's good, man? I'm too young to be a mister, man. Shoot, I ain't that old.
Well, sorry about
Don't give me that old. What's good, everybody?
How y'all doing out there?
Man, I'm doing great, man. I'm blessed. I'm in recovery from open heart surgery, and man, I'm doing great, man. You know, when you get a second chance at life, man, you know, you look at shit differently, and I try to keep positivity flowing around me, around my friends and family. So yeah, man, life is good. I woke up this morning, so you know, half the battle was done.
Hell yeah, man. What's up? Definitely want to salute you, man. Anybody that's ever been through anything like open heart surgery or any type of illness knows the road to recovery is always not an easy one, man. What has been getting you through everything, Rude Boy?
Well, I got to tell you, you know, there's a few things, but real quickly, man, I want to shout out to all of your listeners out there, man, that if at any point that you feel like you've got any kind of discomfort in your chest or anything like that, man, get yourself checked out, man, because your body's not going to lie to you. Your body's letting you know something ain't right. And that's what happened with me, man. I was just mowing my lawn, and I was like, oh, that feels a little weird. But I didn't think nothing of it, and I didn't even go get it checked until, like, 2 weeks later. And at that point, they were like, man, we got to put you in emergency style for this open-heart surgery for triple bypass. And I was like, damn, man, I'm too young for that. And they were like, no, you ain't. But my point is that, you know, any kind of feelings that you have, you know, as far as any pains or anything, get that shit checked, man, because you want to stick around, man. And really, timing is the key to everything, you know. You know, you want to make sure that you ain't lying, man. You ain't lying, because the earlier, the better. And sometimes you don't want to hear some of the shit that they're about to tell you, but you got to know it. And now back to your original question, man. You know, I'm a strong man of faith. You know, I believe that God still has me here for a reason. You know, we do a lot of charitable things. We do a lot of outreach programs and stuff. So, you know, I got a lot to offer still, and I keep that motivated in my mind that there's people out there that could still use my help, and there's still a lot of people out there that can help me too by just being encouraging and uplifting. You know, the days of the negativity and shit, those days are over, man. That, you know, come on, man, we're grown ass men, you know what I'm saying? And all of the crazy shit going on in the world today, I mean, we got a president who's just off the wall, and you know, man, life is just too short for that dumb shit, man.
Yeah, real shit. Yeah, it's shit. You're right, man. You're right, especially, you know, if you got kids, you know, or any little ones in the family, you want to make sure that you're around to see them get through all this fuck shit that's coming up. You know what I mean? You want to help them out, make sure you're here for them, because they're going to need you, you know. So,
absolutely, man. You know, when you're blessed, right, when you're blessed to be a father of children, that's your responsibility to be around to show them, to nurture them, to show them what's right and wrong, man. All of the wrong that you did in life, don't let your kids have to go through that same shit, you know? And what good are you if you're in the ground? I mean, really, you know?
Yeah. Real shit.
Wow, man. Let me ask you this, Rupert. What's going on with the I've seen a lot of people reach out for you, man, and help you out with your situation, man. What do you guys got going on right now for the Rude Boy benefit, man?
Well, here's the deal, you know, like when I got this diagnosis, like I told you guys, you know, it was so fast. It was an emergency triple bypass. So we didn't have no way to prepare for this, you know, and you know, the bills don't stop coming, you know, and when I can't, you know, provide or I can't go earn money like I'm supposed to, you know, you get set back. But you know, my brothers at Psychopathic, you know, of course, they were the first ones to jump up and be like, we're going to do this benefit. Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope both are going to do solo sets live in concert in Detroit. There's also going to be JCW Wrestling. There's also going to be Zug Island in the house. There's also going to be DJ Carlito. There's going to be DJ Clay. I mean, you know, the outpour of people that want to be a part of this is just truly humbling. It really is, man. It touched my heart. I was like, damn, man, you know. And my lady, she was like, you know, you've touched a lot of people. You know, out of the 20-some years you've been involved in music and wrestling and entertainment, you've touched a lot of people. And it shows, you know, by the outpour and the generosity of those who are out here wanting to give. And I'm thankful and I'm blessed, and I think about it every day. You know, again, it's real humbling. And that's going to take place on Friday, February the 24th at the Majestic Theater in downtown Detroit. And, man, it's just going to be a magical night. And then the following night, ICP is doing for the final time the Riddle Box in its entirety from front to back. And, man, it's going to be really good, man. I'm excited about it. But more than that, I am truly humbled by it.
Definitely, man. I saw a lot of support for you, man. From everybody from ICP to Project Born, I saw a lot of a lot of support for you, man. That's what brought it to my attention. Actually, was Project Born, and I was talking to Scott. I said, man, we need to get Rudy on the show, man.
I appreciate it, you know.
Yeah, man. Like
I appreciate it. You can have anybody on here, you know. And when you guys decided to have me, it was humbling, and I don't take none of this lightly. I want everyone to know that, you know, like I said, you could have anybody in this spot right now, but you chose to have me, and I'm thankful for it. I want you all to know that.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. We really appreciate it.
Too,
and when y'all do y'all shows and shit, man, it's always y'all always get it in the motherfuckers too, so that's what I always respect too. Whether it be with the wrestling or the shows and everything, like y'all don't have step with that shit, man. You know what I'm saying?
No,
so I'm always salute
because,
y'all on that shit too.
No, brother, because you know what, man? People are giving hard earned money to come out and see a show, and they don't need to see some half ass shit. They need to see a show. They need to see from top to bottom. And you know, like a lot of shows where cats are trying to get on and stuff, they try to put 20 groups on for the night. And you know what? It gets boring and played out. You need to get a handful of the best of the best, and then just throw down with that. But you know, one of the things that we pride ourselves on is that, you know, hey, cats got to spend a lot of money to go out these days. So you better entertain them the right way. That's why we've been doing this for more than almost 28 years, doing this.
Yeah. And one thing that I appreciate about you guys, man, is everybody took Psychopathic Records as a joke. And they're like, man, they ain't going to make it. It's a fad, blah, blah. Here we are almost 30 years later, and you guys have a wrestling organization. You know what I mean? You're a wrestling organization.
Yeah.
For real, you guys throw the biggest hip-hop show and metal show every year. The Gathering of the Juggalos has the most hip-hop, has a lot of heavy metal acts. I mean, and the crazy part about it is it's just a group of friends from Detroit.
That's what it was.
Yeah. I've heard you guys just say it recently, like, there's just a handful of you guys at that league. You know what
I mean?
That's
it, man. You know when you're doing business with people, you got to do business with people that you trust. You trust that they're not going to fuck you and you're not going to fuck them. And that's why the longevity of Psychopathic has been so strong. And you mentioned, you know, everybody laughed at us, man, in 1992. That's ages ago. They all laughed at us. But check it out, man. None of us have had 9-to-5 jobs. We've all lived in the entertainment business. And one thing, just like you said, we got the wrestling. We've done movies. We've done major motion pictures. We've done tons of videos and all of that stuff. And why? Because we continue, even now, to keep our eyes on the prize. You don't want to half step. You don't want people to be like,
right,
man, what, you know what I'm saying? And you know what? Even today, 2017, motherfuckers are still laughing. But guess what? It's usually the haters that are laughing. And it's usually the ones that wish they could be where we are. And you can be. You can. It's just simple. It's not recreating the wheel. It's easy. What it is hard fucking work and a lot of sacrifice. I lost a lot of fine women in my day because of what I did. But you know what, man? It was more important to make sure that this thing that we all believed in got off the ground and went sky high. And you know, we get to live off of that, man. We don't take that lightly. None of us do.
Yeah, definitely, man. And your relationship with ICP, I believe it stayed so strong because you were always one of the ones on the front lines, man. I think JCW has become what it has become because of the legendary matches that you've done. But you guys started out in other independent wrestlings, isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, like,
we started out here in Detroit in 1990 here in Detroit. And we were wrestling on small independent shows. But we were always like, you know what, if we ever put together our own stuff, we're going to do it balls out. Like you said, man, bringing in all the legends, bringing in all the names that everybody knows, man. We're going to give the Juggalos, we're going to give the people who support us the very best. Mm-hmm. And that means giving them the very best in wrestling even, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah,
are you participating in the Juggalo March that they're going to have on Washington? You
going
to be down, you gonna be down there with them?
I'm blessed to be down there. You know, I'm going to be one of the keynote speakers. And the thing is, let me say this real quickly.
Yeah, because I was going to ask
Juggalo,
you, can you give us a little insight on that?
Let me tell you this. Okay, so the FBI mm-hmm. labeled all Juggalos as gang members. Now, you
right.
might think, okay, well, that don't mean shit. Well, it does. When you're trying to go get a job and when you're filling out, and every time you put that name with your Social Security on it, and once you've already been pulled over or whatever and you got that Juggalo tattoo, automatically you are lumped in with the Bloods, the Crips, and the Juggalos. It just sounds ridiculous. But nevertheless, man, we were like, you know what, man, we ain't standing for this. So we sued the United States government. No
mm-hmm.
band has ever done that, ever in the history of the world, and stood up and said, you know what, we're going to do this. And the American Civil Liberty Union, they stood next to us. They were like, man, we don't know shit about Juggalos. We don't know shit about ICP. We don't know nothing. But we do know what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And what's wrong is that if they do this to a group of people that just happen to love the same music, sport the same tattoos, wear the same clothes, that means that they can run over anybody. They can do
yeah.
that to anybody. So, and that was the point that we try to tell everyone that, look, this ain't no Juggalo thing. This ain't no psychopathic thing. This is a human rights thing. This is
yeah, safe.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, man, we got brothers from the Nation of Islam that are going to be there. They're like, man,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're going to be there. We're going to be marching with you. We got people that are from all of these different coalitions. There's even a Christian group that is like, we got to be there, man, only because it's about human rights. Is what it is. And so when
right.
you say, am I going to be there? Man, I'm taking my whole family to that because it needs to be done. It needs to be done. And, you know, with the administration in there right now, we got to show people, man, that, look, it's all over us. Regardless of if we got a tattoo or what our religion
mm-hmm.
is or our sexuality. Because, man, that's when they start controlling you, man. and already they've already got us programmed to be against one another. So we got to unite, man. And I think that this is going to be a wonderful thing. I think it's going to be something that it's only going to happen once. I'm going to tell you that right now. It'll never happen again.
I actually believe that too, man. I actually believe it can do more. It can do more good than bad. Just for some of the reasons that you just said, just showing them. Because if they can do you guys like that, what's going to stop them from doing the next group of people that come together and unite, or the next group of people that come together and unite on some different shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to agree with it. You don't have to be a juggalo. You don't have to be down with the music or the culture or nothing to understand that, you know, they targeting a certain type of person, and that shit ain't cool,
right,
man. Because they do your group the next way. You know what I'm saying? Like, they might not do you today, but they might get you tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? So we all got to ride together when it comes to shit like that.
Exactly. You know, and again, you know, this is about you have to stand together. And look, you know, and is it going to change anything? Who knows? But we won't know if we sit on our asses at home and not do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We won't know. Well, and you know, one thing that I like to pride myself on how I live life is that I want to know what's at the end of the tunnel. I don't want to sit back and be like, damn, I wonder what was there. Fuck that. I'm walking through it and finding out. You know, I don't want to live my life with no regrets, you know?
Yeah,
right.
And not only have you got a lot of attention from people in the music world, I've been hearing about the Juggalo March on mainstream news. They had it on SportsCenter the other day. So
they did. Yeah. They just called me from Time Magazine this afternoon to give some quotes. And, you know, it's the same thing that I told them. I was like, you know, hey, this is about humanity, man. And people are not just sitting back and letting people walk all over them, man. Back in the 60s and all of that shit when they were marching and stuff, man, those were pioneers, man. And we owe it to them not to let the government do you like that. And we owe it more than that, brothers. Check this out. We owe it more than that to the youth, to the kids that are coming up, to your kids, to your grandkids, all of that. We owe it to them to stand up and be like, no, this ain't right. And like my brother said, you don't have to like the music. It ain't about the music. You put some earbuds in your head and walk that street together. You ain't got to hear the music. It ain't about that. But it's about gathering together because everyone knows that strength is in numbers. And that's all we're trying to do. And we're trying to let the mainstream know, hey, look, man, this shit is real. This shit is real. And the only thing that Psychopathic Records has anything to do with it is they are funding the whole thing. The stage that's being built, the PA system, all of that stuff ain't free. All of the getting the actual permits, those are $500 for the day. But it's that important to everyone that we do this, man. And I'm excited about it. I'm sorry I get a little carried away, man, but I'm very passionate about stuff like that.
No, you good, man. You good. That's what people need to hear. They need to hear the passion for stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
One more thing, Rude Boy. I just want to, like, I've been seeing this a lot. A lot of people are like, man, I'm not going. I'm not getting arrested and all that shit. And I keep trying to tell people, like, the permits are in place. They know you're coming. It's not like you guys are kicking down the White House door and shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I want people to, like, there's a lot of people that are thinking, like, you guys are just showing up. And
a lot of the propaganda that is being spread out there is straight up just hater shit. And here's what it is. Let me say this, man. And I've heard juggalos be like, well, that don't affect me. It don't affect you now, but that doesn't mean that ain't going to affect you in 2 weeks or 10 years or 20 years from now. It has to be done. You know what I'm saying? And look, those who just say, man, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to go to jail, whatever. Hey, man, No one's mad at you. Sit at home. Do your thing. But just know that someone is out there fighting for your rights. There's someone out there fighting
exactly.
for your, it's just like, it, I mean,
yeah.
it's just like with the president putting the ban on different Muslim nations coming in and stuff. Do you realize, let me say this real quickly, brothers. Do you realize that there's 54,000 members of the United States military that are Muslim? So what if all of those cats just sat down and was like, all right, go ahead. You know what I'm saying? There's somebody out there who's fighting for you. And that's what we like to be the catalyst about this. That's why we want to be out there and fighting for those who are even saying, you know what, fuck that, I'm not going to go to jail. Nobody has to go to jail. You don't have to go to jail to go and just listen to some speeches and get out there and show numbers. Man, because I'm going to tell you what, this is going to change the face of a lot of stuff, man. Like you guys said, SportsCenter's talking about it? Come on, man. At least they're talking about it. Think about that. You know, now it's not just some, oh, look at them, the clowns, they're funny. Now they're like, oh, these motherfuckers are like, for real, for real. When Time Magazine called me, they was like, yeah, so this is, like, really happening. They pulled up the permits and everything, and they were like, I was like, yeah, you know, because this is something that we believe in. And those who are sitting at home, hey, man, we got love for you, too. Do your thing. Do your thing. Maybe one day you could thank us. That's all.
That's real shit, man. There you go. That's real shit, man. And besides, I've seen a lot of negativity being thrown at you guys nowadays, man. you guys just keep
that's
saying,
nothing new.
I saw Violent J. You know, I think it was last year. Did the charity tour, the charity show for St. Jude's Hospital, and you know, you guys.
Oh yeah, I was out there with him. Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
You guys
oh,
do
yeah.
a lot of positive things, man, and you guys don't get enough credit for that shit because, like you said, man, it's ICP. They're just the clowns, you know, nobody takes them serious. And being that, nobody ever gives you guys the credit for the actual good that you do. And
but,
I'll tell you real
but,
quick.
You know, but you know what, though? But let me say this real quickly. We have lost some really good publicists in our day because they wanted to put the publicity out there of all of the different charitable things that we've done. And we were like, man, that's not, it's not real charity when you're looking for recognition. God knows what you did.
Yeah.
You know, you as a man, when you look in the mirror, you know what you did. That's all that really matters, man. You know, at the end of the day. So the haters are going to hate, but as long as I can stand in front of the mirror in the morning and look myself in it and say, hey man, you're all right guy, then that's all that matters.
I'll tell you, everybody, whenever I posted the flyer that you were going to be on here, the number one thing everybody wanted me to talk about was the situation with Twisted. So I went back and I looked at everything, and from what I gathered about it, like, I think what they did is definitely they're trying to poke at ICP, poke at you guys, and they're trying to fuel something off negativity. And when I watched the Fago Lovers interview, and I thought that ICP handled it well. Like they didn't really throw any shots. They were just saying that they think that Twisted was taking
shots. You know, there's one thing that I'm only going to say this, and I've said this, and when you guys hit me up to do this interview, and they was like, so what don't you want to talk about? Look, I talk about anything because the thing I got to say is, you know, I ain't got nothing to be afraid of, shit, you know. But didn't I say that, right? And so let me say this about – what's that?
I said,
hello?
Yeah, 100%. I even told Scott you said that. I told you that I wasn't going to get up, and you said, hey, I'm an open book, man. Ask me anything.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So as far as Twisted goes, let me say this real quickly, and I'm not going to dwell on it because it doesn't there's no merit in it. Here's the deal: I'm going to say this, and then you just make your own decisions on what's right and what's wrong. Do not run around calling family, juggalo love. When you're getting a paycheck to do it. When you are asked to be a part of the cause, to walk with your Juggalo brothers and sisters in a march, and you turn your backs on them, well, then that's that. I mean, right there tells the story. I don't have to say nothing after that. You, the writing is on the wall, and whatever their personal agenda is on this whole situation, the fact of the matter is the Juggalos 20 years have made sure that Twisted has had nice homes, nice cars, living good lives. I mean, come on, man. You don't owe it to your fans. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Yeah. Real shit, real boy. Let's switch gears a little bit. Let's have a little bit of fun, man. I've got a list of people that you've wrestled, man.
Yeah.
What's the most memorable match that you ever wrestled in?
Oh, shit. The most memorable match was, probably when I wrestled Necro Butcher at the Gathering. It was like 5 years ago, and there was no ropes match, and it was lumberjacks around the ring with weapons. And when I slammed him on the chair, he broke his leg. And I was like, oh, fuck, what do we do now, man? His bone was actually sticking out of his leg. So I was trying not to throw up at the same time as trying to pin him. So that was pretty memorable, you know. And, you know, I got a lot of great memories of wrestling people. Abdullah the Butcher and Kamala, and I mean, you know, Jake
the
Snake.
Oh yeah, I was going to ask you about Abby.
You know,
you got any good stories about Abby?
Abdullah the Butcher. Let me tell you something. The first time I wrestled him, one thing that a lot of people don't know is that he's a real paranoid guy. So the first time I wrestled him, if you look at his fingers when you're watching wrestling tapes or whatever, and all of his fingers are taped up, there's razor blades in every one of those fingers, every one of them. And I went to hit Abdullah, and I went to pick him up like I was going to scoop him, and he put those razor blades into my neck and was saying real quietly, put me down, let me go. And what do you do when you got razor blades at your jugular vein? You just listen, you know. But the first couple of times I wrestled him, you know, I was just a young guy, and he was a veteran, so he just took advantage and beat the shit out of me. But later on in life, man, we became good friends. And if you ever go to his restaurant in Atlanta, it's called Abdullah the Butcher's House of Ribs and Chinese Food. Believe it or not, that's what it's called. There's actually a picture of me and him wrestling together on his wall of fame, man. So I was pretty honored.
Oh,
by
that's
that.
Got to be a huge honor for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then wrestling,
he was,
you know, and then
broke, wasn't he? Was he serious?
Yeah,
like,
he was definitely
your jugular.
Well, he didn't know me. You know, he didn't know what I was going to do to him. You know, and
yeah. You
know, I'm 20 years younger than he is, and you know, So, you know, he was protecting himself. That's what the old-timers did back then, man, you know. They didn't know when a young guy was going to try to get make some news, you know. I mean, because, look, seriously, he's an old man. You know, I was a young guy then. I was in great shape. I could probably kill him, you know, but he had to protect himself, you know. And then another memorable match, man, was when I wrestled in a three-way with Terry Funk and Dusty Rhodes, man. Who the fuck gets to be in the ring with Terry Funk and Dusty Rhodes? I mean, really? It's a dream come true, man. And Dusty was such a sweetheart, man. I miss him so much. Because even after just that one time we wrestled, him and I, we stayed in contact for years and years. And, man, what a beautiful soul, man. What a great guy. A lot of assholes in the business, too, though, man. Lots of them, man, you know.
Who are some of the guys that like really like would fuck with you a little bit too much? That is there anybody?
Well, one of them was Vampiro. Vampiro,
yeah.
Him and I, we would, and we never wrestled each other ever. But man, like he'd come on some of the tours with us, and man, you know, he was much bigger, a lot stronger than me. And I remember a couple times he'd be fucking around with me on the tour bus. And one time he had me like in a chokehold, and I fell up against the drawer in our kitchen, and I pulled out a pair of scissors and I stuck it to his throat. And I was like, you might want to go ahead and let me go now because this is about to go in your throat. So, you know, yeah. So, I mean, you know, he liked to play a little bit too much, and I don't really care for that. I'm a grown-ass man. I ain't got time for that dumb shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. There's definitely a cutoff point for all that fucking around. Yeah, man, that's crazy. You know, you wrestled the best of the best, man. I mean, Terry Funk, what was he like, man? You remember that? I know you remember that death match with him and Cactus Jack back in the mid-90s.
We did the Stranglemania with that. Terry Funk, man, is let me say this about Terry Funk. If there's any one guy in the business who wants to see this business succeed and wants to see the young guys make it, it's Terry Funk, man. He's a guy who's like, listen, man, if it makes sense, then it's got to make dollars, you know. And what he wants is the young guys to respect what him and guys like Dusty Rhodes and the Sheik and all those guys, what they build and what they, you know, blood and sweat and tears so many years for, you know. Today there's no honor in wrestling anymore. And when I say that, what I mean is there's nobody paying dues anymore. You can go on eBay right now and buy yourself a wrestling ring. You can set it up at a VFW hall. You can go to that same eBay store and get you a world championship belt, and you can say, oh, I'm a wrestler, and here's my federation, without paying any dues, without any proper training. And, man, that's what the veterans were like, this is bullshit. Because I'm going to tell you what, man, me and Violent J, true story, man, true story. One of our first or second matches that we had, we were in Detroit, we did a show, and then we got invited by the Sheik and Sabu to go to Fort Wayne, Indiana the next night to wrestle. And we were like, oh, shit, man, this is going to be great, blah, blah, blah. We got down there, man, and seriously, that's like a six-hour drive. Okay, and we didn't have no money back then, so, you know, whatever. Anyways, man, at the end of the night, the fucking promoter handed us $5. $5! And was like, all right, we'll see you next month. And that's paying dues. Who the fuck were we to get paid? No one came to see us. But like I said, the honor in respect of the business now is just, look, I can show you I'm a better acrobat than you are. But there's no psychology behind it. There's no true story behind it. You know, you should be able to go into a match and tell a story from front to back and have people entertained while you do it. And so, you know, I don't want to sound like one of them old-timers, oh, man, back when I was a ref. But the fact of the matter is I'm glad that I was a part of that old school and that I got that old school mentality, because now I teach it to young guys that I help develop and help, you know, train and stuff. So, you know, there's a lot to this business that, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, it's going to die. But wrestling is just like every so often it takes a slump, and then all of a sudden it's back on top. So, I mean, it'll be here, but, you know, you got to just respect those guys who paved the way. That's all.
Yeah, man, you guys went from a videotape to having an actual wrestling organization, man. Like JCW blew up. You know, like
we got to do. No, go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna say, like back in the day, my little cousin had the JCW videotape, and then out of nowhere, I went to look it up, and there was all this stuff. Like, then I realized how big it became, man. Like, it actually turned into something. Like, it went from an event to an organization. You know what I mean?
We got to do four major tours across the country, and so that was pretty cool. And we've done several pay-per-views. So I mean, and then that also opened up doors for us to, you know, go to ECW and TNA and, you know, even when ICP got to be in WWE for that brief moment in WCW. I mean, these were dreams that we had when we were kids, man. And we were like, you know what? Fuck that. We're going to make those dreams come true. You can't. The only person that can stop you from your dreams is you. That's it. Come hell or high water, get it done. That's how we live our lives.
Oh, yeah. You guys came a long way, man. What's up with Psychopathic Radio, man? Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, man?
Well, you know Psychopathic Radio, you know the Juggalo show every other Thursday. We got one coming up in a couple days here on Thursday nights. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and so it's like 5 o'clock on the West Coast. But, you know, we chop it up for a couple hours each week, and every other week, I should say, and we give away prizes, and, you know, we talk about what's happening in the world, not only just in the world, but what's happening in, you know, the music industry and movie, everything that's pop culture and shit, and anything that we can laugh at, pretty much, we do. You know, our listener and viewership is up to 1 million people worldwide, so we're pretty excited about that. And man, we're just, you know, we're just trying to keep it moving. We're trying to keep juggalos entertained by other juggalos. That's what we're doing, you know. I mean, and like with the radio show, with the wrestling organization, we also have our own gaming con. Dark Carnival Games convention is coming up in April. So if you're into like dice and you're into like magic card games, and I don't know nothing about it. That's all Jump Steady shit, but video games and all of that stuff, man, you pay to come in, you play for free all night long, then there's going to be after parties. It's going to be nuts, but I personally, I don't know nothing about it as far as, you know, dice and Dungeons and Dragons and stuff like that. I never got into any of that stuff.
No LARPing.
Yeah, see, I don't man, I only knew how to shoot craps. That's it.
Right, but the people that get into that shit, they be in that shit. So, that's cool. That's good that y'all having something for motherfuckers that's into that, though. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's going to be a 3-day event. And like I said, man, you know, after parties and stuff. And they got 2 hotels where motherfuckers are going to be partying all night and stuff. So it's going to be fun, man, you know. What my boy Jump Steady likes to say, come on down to Detroit April 21st through the 23rd. And get your nerd on.
There you go. I'll tell you what, real boy. Hell of a show, man. I want to thank you again for coming on, and I want you to keep getting better. You know what I'm saying? And,
thank you.
We hope to have you on in the future. Before you go, man, give everybody your social media so they can go check out your radio and everything you got going on.
Yeah, right? Before I go, I personally would like to thank you guys for taking the time out to having me on here. It's real humbling, and I thank you all. I thank all your listeners out there. I know, man, people, when we started promoting this, man, people were like, oh, shit, man, that's great, man. So we're excited about being here. And more than that, man, you know, we just want to keep the dream going for everybody. And you can catch me on, you know, Rudy Hill on Facebook. You can also catch me on Controversy Productions Presents on Facebook. You can catch me with DJ Carlito on his Facebook. The Real Rude Boy on Facebook. I don't know Twitter, man, because they said you can only type so many words, and man, I usually ramble on like you guys seen tonight. But I want to thank you guys, man. And we're gonna do this again in the future. I promise.
Hell yeah, definitely, man! I'll stay in touch with you, man. You can come back, bro. Anybody over there, welcome on the show, man. Anybody on Psychopathics, welcome on the show, man. Thanks for making it so easy, man. You hit me back right away, made it happen right away, man. We appreciate that.
I appreciate you.
That's real talk. Thanks a lot, Rudy.
Good night. God bless you guys.
Yeah, that's Rude Boy right there. Hell of an interview. Thanks for bringing him on, Patrick. I'll tell you what, we're gonna go out for one of these songs that you sent me by ICP. Then we're gonna go into your interview. Then we're gonna flip the script and interview you. You know what I'm saying? This guy, for those of you who don't know who Pittsburgh Pat is, this guy has been a huge help to the underground scene where he's at. Also around the globe, man, networking with people.
know what I'm saying? You can definitely go to UGSforLife.com, find out more about him, you know what I'm saying? Check out Hell's Heavyweights right there at the site, UGSforLife.com. He's got a cypher coming up. We're going to talk about all that here in a minute. Don't go nowhere. This is Project Born featuring ICP. This is Graveyard. We'll be right back right here on the Murder Master Music Show.
Who is this motherfucker knocking on my tomb, disturbing the worms that are trying to consume?
That's some evil music right there, man. Let's bring on the homie Exit Only. He's in the building. What's up, Exit?
What's going on with your fam? Everybody good?
Yeah, what's going on with Exit?
We're doing real good, man.
Everybody's training, man. Man, training, sitting back enjoying the show as normal. Love the interview with Rude Boy. He said some very positive points. I salute them for their walk on Washington, and they are correct. If we don't do something to prevent it, it will happen with every little event out there, every little group. They could turn and sit there and say Murder Master Music Show was a gang and have us on that list. So I really feel them on what they're doing, and I salute them for everything that they do, man, for real, seriously. And that brother is correct. There's no age limit on a heart attack. I actually had one, you know what I'm saying, about maybe 12 years ago, you know what I'm saying? I thought I was a young man at that particular point. So, nah, it can break you down at any point. We really do got to start taking care of ourselves because we live for our kids.
Yeah, you ain't lying. You sure ain't lying.
That's real talk, man. You know, man, we got another special guest tonight. He was just on the show, man. We let him run that Rude Boy interview, man. He did a hell of a job with it. But this guy here, man, he's the definition of support, you know what I mean? He's like the type of dude that you want on your team, you know, and he's definitely been helping us out a lot. I know I can speak for you too, Exit Only and Caliber, many other people. You know what I'm saying? This guy represents a lot of people. Man, let's bring him on, Pittsburgh Patrick. What's up, Pittsburgh Patrick? How you doing, brother?
Welcome to the Murder Master Music Show.
Yeah, thank you for calling in tonight. We haven't talked to you in a very, very long time. What's the show called again, man? What's the website?
I think
it's called the Murder Master Music Show, last I checked. But, man, first and foremost, brother, tell everybody what your, your introduction to hip-hop was, man.
It was actually my mom, man. I mean, it wasn't her primary music.
Shout out to your mom, man. Hell yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, she loved Public Enemy, Run DMC, all the old stuff, man. She liked Sir Mix-a-Lot and not, you know, Baby Got Back or whatever it was. Like, Sir Mix-a-Lot had a bunch of good records before that, you know what I mean? So that was my early introduction, and my brother. My brother was 4 years older than me. He was a hip-hop head, too.
Yeah, so you pretty much grew up, you had the music all around you, and you were able to absorb it. What were some of the early, the early stuff you listened to?
My first memories, the first thing, I can pinpoint, I know I already liked some rap back when I was, 6 or 7 years old. I remember when the Gin and Juice video came out, and, I was already into rap music at that point. But, the album that I heard that, I knew that I was a hip-hop head was Awesome Dre. Can't Hold Me Back, that album. When I heard that, I'm like, man, this is my shit. I'm not going nowhere. And I just started, following the line. You know what I mean? I like Dr. Dre and all that. I like Ice Cube. I like, I like all the New York stuff, Rakim and everybody. But, that's how I traced it all back before my time, before it was me, So I heard Dr. Dre, and then you find out, him and Ice Cube had a group, N.W.A., you know what I mean? So I just kept following it back, and I liked it all, man, chased it all the way back to where it started, and I fuck with it all.
There's one thing about you, I noticed, I'm sure everybody else does too, your wide range of music. You're not just you don't just like one area or one region. You like multiple regions, man. Is that just extend from your love of hip hop as a whole, or how did you get to the point where you like music from everywhere?
Well, it's kind of where I'm from, because like Pittsburgh's considered to be the East Side, but so like we like all the New York shit because we were part of their little tours. Like whenever somebody was dropping an album, we were one of the first spots because we're close. But we're country too. Like you think West Virginia, people think of country backwoods shit. Well, West Virginia's like 50 miles away. And then Bone Thugs and Harmony is considered the Midwest. They're from Cleveland. Cleveland's right there. And so the country shit made us relate to the South shit. And then the Midwest is right there. Like, there's people in Pittsburgh that don't even know if we're Midwest or East. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, that's a question I've seen a lot. So we – and there's a strong, like, Crip influence in Pittsburgh. Like, a perfect example is – look at Wiz Khalifa. Now, he didn't grow up in Pittsburgh, but he lived there since he was like 15 or something. I don't really like the dude's music enough, but look who the people he fucks with the most is. Juicy J and Snoop Dogg. You know what I mean? Because those two names are very respected in Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? So, like, with the strong Crip environment, like, I tell people all the time, like, the biggest rapper in Pittsburgh is Soulja Slim. That's the like you can, if you go to Pittsburgh and you talk shit on Soulja Slim, you're gonna have a problem. But after Soulja Slim, it's SIBO, it's Project Pat, it's the Dayton family, it's Top Authority and MC Breed. There's something.
Yeah, they like them hard motherfuckers up there.
Yeah, because we never really had that artist that identified that was Pittsburgh. Like there wasn't, you know, like we didn't have Scarface rep in Houston. We didn't have a Scarface. Like we adopted other artists. And there was, I don't really know how it started with Soulja Slim, but that's Tupac to people in Pittsburgh. Like if you went on YouTube and looked up Pittsburgh rappers, most Pittsburgh rappers that are just street rappers, their music ties in with Soulja Slim somehow. You know, like they'll mention Soulja Slim in their songs because they know people will fuck with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we was fucking with Slim too. And when I was in Memphis, when Soulja Slim really popped off, everybody fucked with Soulja Slim, man. He did his thing.
Yeah, and that's what I tell people all the time. Like, it's hard for me to pinpoint what my favorite is. Like, if I have to give an answer, I usually give Tupac just because, like, Tupac was kind of more than a rapper to me. You know what I mean? Like, Tupac, like, I was young. I was 10 when he died. So, like, Tupac was, like, you thought you knew Tupac. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you had, like, a relationship with Pac because, like, he was just that powerful. You know what I'm saying? But I mean, I can't say that I like Soulja Slim more than I like Koji Rap. Like, I can't say that. Like, today, I might listen to Koji Rap all day. And then tomorrow, I'm feeling Soulja Slim. So, like, I don't really know who my favorite is. I just love shit that's real. You know what I mean? And there's days I listen to C-Murder, and I'm like, man, C-Murder is my favorite rapper. But, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard for me to pinpoint who my favorite rapper of all time is. You know what I mean? It's just, I love all kinds of shit. But the people I list, they're from all over the place. You know what I mean? Like, there's not really a special sound that I'm just like, yeah, this is my favorite sound because I can't really pinpoint.
The thing about it is you got, you know, diversity and, you know, that's what enables you to find good music. You know what I'm saying? A lot of cats, they miss a lot of good music because, I'm only going to listen to rappers in Sacramento or rappers in fucking Omaha. I'm not going to listen to anybody else. Meanwhile, they're missing a whole few people.
I love all them dudes, man. Like, Trace Wong, that was one of the first rappers that I called my favorite rapper. You know what I mean? I can recall where I'm like, man, like, that's all I listened to for a certain amount of time. And it was Space One, you know. And then after that, it was Koji Rap. And it was Wu-Tang Clan and Nas. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just, I just like it all, man. And, like, I tell people this shit all the time. Like, I talk shit on what's going on now in the mainstream. And I'm like, man, like, I don't want to talk about them dudes. Like, I wish I liked that. You know what I mean? Like, I wish they were doing something that I liked, but they're just not. There's no ingredient of what they do with hip-hop and what they're doing. They're just not. Like, they don't have respect for the people before them. They don't sound, most of them aren't even fucking rapping. So it's like, I wish I liked what they were doing. I always supported hip-hop, man. Like, I think the 90s shit was better, but I fucked with The Game and, you know, like, Saigon's one of my favorite rappers. Like, I always supported what was coming after it. You know what I mean? I just can't support this shit, man.
I don't blame you. You're not
I'm in the same way, man. Like I told Prez, I don't think I bought, like, look for a mainstream release since, like, the G-Unit album. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been that long since I actually, like, went and bought a CD that was on a major label. And if I did buy one, it was, like, a reissue of something that was already out years ago. I bought old CDs all the time, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nothing like coming up on an old copy of some shit that you used to have just because I like to have the physical copies. I can stream shit all day long. I got albums for days, you know what I'm saying? But it's something like having that physical copy, man.
Yeah, man. Like, I found Nature for All Seasons last week for like $4. I was so happy I fucking found that CD because I always loved that album and I haven't had it in a long time and I found it for $4. That's the only shit that I buy, like, is all the old shit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Even with
the new Scarface, the new album he had, I didn't run out to go buy it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know they had it all in the fucking stores and shit, but like if they had K Reno all seven of his in the stores here, I can see myself running straight to buy it.
Yeah.
But what's so cool about the underground is you can buy directly from these guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, to have him put me and Prez's name on the back of his CD. And then actually send us one. That type of shit is dope. So what I want to ask you is, like, what gives you that passion to you know what I'm saying? Keep repping for the underground, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
because
you got your own Facebook group that's pretty popping. And, like, what gives you the motivation to always rep for the underground when you got all this shit being played out?
Well, it's mainly because of something you just mentioned. Like, you said, like, how you can get the CD from Gangsta Nip, straight from Gangsta Nip. Like,
yeah.
I got Dice's album by Colin Dice on the phone. I got Shoestring from the Dayton family's album from calling them on the phone. Like, all the hip-hop is here. Like, for all that dumb shit going on the mainstream, like, we have it down here. Like, we're living good. We got all kinds of artists. Like, you know what I mean? But, like,
right.
The main part of it is I really just love this shit, to keep it real. I mean, that's how I found you guys. Because Murder Dog was my shit. When I was in prison, I wrote Murder Dog because I always had a subscription out on the street because you couldn't always find them. Like, some months they would be there, some months they wouldn't. So I had a subscription. I went to jail.
Right.
I was going to be there for a minute, so I wrote them. I was like, well, my money didn't hit yet. Please save my issues for me. When I send you the money, send me my back issues with it. Like, I'll pay for them. I'm not asking for nothing for free, you know what I mean? And Murder Dog hooked me up the whole time until it stopped for free. I never had to pay for anything. You know what I mean? So, the underground, me, like, I found you guys. I think it was the Derry Heller interview. I think that's what, like, got me, like, seeing the Murder Master Music Show. And then, like, I remember the one time, like, I don't remember what guest it was, but I shared a post. And Prez, like, commented, like, thanks for the share. And I'm like, man, fuck this. Like, what the fuck he care? You know what I mean? And then, like, one day I, like, said something about Murder Dog, and he commented back, and I actually looked at his name. And I knew his name. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is dude from Murder Dog. You know what I mean?
Right,
and then, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't pay attention to his name at first because when I came home and got online, I just was sending people requests left and right. Like, I didn't know I didn't know nobody. You know what I mean? But, like, for real, like, what keeps me passionate about it is, like, for one, I feel that I shouldn't stand out, and I do, because I do support people, but everybody claims to support people, but they really don't. They just support their favorite artists and shit. But, like, I really
Which for real ain't nothing really wrong with that, but support, you know, you stand out because you do support, you know what I'm saying? Like, wouldn't nobody really care about your page or even want to listen to this interview if you really didn't support Brandon, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what, because a lot of motherfuckers say they support, but they really don't. They just, they have support. They sometimes ask motherfuckers. Sometimes they do it, sometimes they don't. But you always,
I mean, you gotta, if you can't say that I support the underground or I support hip hop, if you're just supporting one camp, like you're just supporting an underground artist, you're not supporting the underground. It's a huge fucking
thing. Yeah, it's a big difference.
Like, for the most part, like, I just love this shit. Like, when I say, like, when I share a post, like, go buy the Chinaman Records compilation, I really want you to listen to it. I really think that you're going to like it. You know what I mean? Like, when I talk about Exit Only or Fred Stye or,
you know, Smash Brothers, all that shit to try to look cool and shit. You actually want these.
Yeah.
You really, you know what I'm saying? That's called real support. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah,
I'm feeling
like,
the same way. Like, when I share somebody's shit, I'll be for real, like, check this shit out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not doing it to get on your nerves. That's why I don't tag a whole lot of people and shit like that. I just, if you watching my page, you're going to see it anyway. I just share shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't really do a whole bunch of that tagging shit. But every now and then,
like,
I will tag.
Yeah, I share Monte Cristo shit every day. And I never tag Monte Cristo. Like, hey, man, look over here. Like, you know, show me some love. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
I'm about to say, I see a gang
I'm
of Monte Cristo
it.
Shit through you. For real.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
There's a lot
like,
of people, that did it for the wrong reasons. They just want to get their likes or whatever. And, you know, you're in it to support
they
all.
Know some fucking body
equally,
and shit. Like, some
you
people do that shit just to say they know a motherfucker. Oh, yeah, I know Prez. Oh, yeah, I know Brandon. Oh, yeah, I know Exit Only. But you'll never catch these motherfuckers on unless they
think
some fuck shit going on.
For a moment?
Yeah, and a lot of people, they try to buddy up to people and, you know, try to get free shit or, you know what I mean? Like, there's always that ulterior motive. I'm like, man, you're kind of flip-flopping. You know what I mean? Like, I don't accept nothing from nobody. Like, yeah, people hook me up with shit, but I never ask nobody for nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that's counterproductive of what I'm supposed to stand for. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like, yeah, Dice, I'll share your page. Send me 4 CDs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that shit's corny. You know what I mean? Like, motherfuckers know I support them. I buy albums. I support all that shit for the right reason. You know what I mean? If I can't buy your album, because sometimes I'm strapped, I'm still going to fucking promote it and try to get someone else to buy it. You know what I mean? Like,
hell yeah.
Yo, Pat.
I told you, there's all kinds of support.
What
up,
man? Pittsburgh Pat.
What up, bro?
Okay, guaranteed. It's your boy, Exit Only. I just want to say something, man. You know, me and you talk, if it ain't every day, it's every other day. And I could say this about you, and, you know, I tell you all the time, you know what I'm saying, you're one of the biggest fans of hip-hop I have read into since Sinister. Your knowledge of hip-hop is vast beyond belief. I'm talking about, I sit there and, you know, every day I'm up on your page. I watch the different albums you put up and tell people to pick the best. And some of that shit be so complicated because all of them are the best.
I
really think you need to actually create a school to teach a lot of people the true meaning of hip-hop, because it is not just one region, one area, one brand of music. That what made it so good, and as we call it, the golden years, because you had a variety to pick from. And you still sorts with those variety. I mean, Soulja Slim, Saigon. I mean, you from from the south to the east, out to the west. I mean, you're immaculate. You're a very, very rare jewel. That's all I gotta say. You are a very rare jewel.
Yeah, look, I make them posts, though. Like, I'll put legendary albums up against each other. And I don't really care why you want this album or anything like that. The reason I put them up there is for real people that listen to all those albums that heard them, just in case they point something out that I didn't think of. Because, like, there's still a bunch of shit. I feel like I'm weird about shit. I like to know everything about certain shit. There might be shit about Kool G Rap I don't know. And I want to know it. You know what I mean? They might, like, point something out, like, oh, I like this track with this person. And when they say that feature, I'm like, fuck, I haven't heard his shit in, you know, 15 years. And, I a lot of times I do that just to try to, like, a lot of times I'm just bored and I'm looking for conversation and maybe it'll lead to me listening to an album I haven't heard or something I haven't heard in a long time. So, like, that's why I do that. Real talk. And I don't like when people just turn it into, like, oh, fuck Nas. You know what I mean? Like, people get, like, crazy about it. They're like, oh, Nas sucks, and this album's bad.
Well,
like, that's not why.
Not to switch gears on you, but, you know what I'm saying, you have no idea how much you help me, man, because trying to run the site, trying to set up these shows, fucking YouTube, it's all overwhelming, man. You know what I'm saying? So if I post something, I don't even got to say shit, and it's automatically shared two or three times. Same thing with Lord Sinister. Same thing with yourself, Exit, and others, man. I can't thank you guys enough for that because I just don't have the time to do it myself, you know what I'm saying, with all the other shit I'm doing. So without you guys, I don't know what the fuck I would do. Real talk, man.
Well, see, everybody on this phone share the same sentiment that I do, and it's we love the show. I know Patrick came in because he loved the show. Jay came in because he loved the show. You know, I've been following y'all since Murder Dog, so therefore I love the show. I love to be able to go back and learn what happened to my favorite MC, to find out what's been going on with his life within these 20 years I have heard from him. And then to find out that they still got material that they putting out that a lot of people don't know. Because, see, back in the days, word of mouth was how records spread. You know, somebody in your neighborhood would come back and be like, yo, you heard the new Two Live Crew? You need to get it. And you ran to the store and you got it. You know what I'm saying? But nowadays, we don't have that type of outlet anymore. But we do. And it's the Murder Master Music Show. Anything you want to find out is there.
Yeah,
I salute you, Chris, for everything that y'all doing over there, man. And that's real talk. That's not just shooting smoke. That's real talk.
Man, I appreciate
it.
Yeah,
and that's why I support this show, because for how I am, and I love the old school hip hop. I love underground hip hop, all that shit. Like, I've never found somebody that represents it better. I just haven't. You know what
Indeed.
I mean? There's a lot of good shows out there. You know what I mean? But I can go to one website and hear Chuck D, Curtis Blow, Sebo, Little Soulja Slim. You know what I mean? Like, everything's right there. And like that, like I just think that this is the best movement for hip hop. Without doubt, and you know, I'm proud as fuck to be a part of it. You know what I mean?
Man, I appreciate that, man. You know, and this thing was designed for interaction too, man. So we encourage people to call into the show. There was a point in time where we shut down the calls for a little bit, you know what I'm saying, and we was just focusing on building up the archive. But this year, we've kind of opened up the floodgates a little bit. We let people in, and we're going to continue to do so, man. If you got a story that you want to tell, if you got some dope music you want us to check out, then go to egsforlives.com. You know, click on the info, get at us. You know what I'm saying? We're going to go into a little break before we get back here and chop it up with you, Pittsburgh Patrick. We're going to play one of these dope Saigon tracks you sent me, you know what I'm saying, which we hope to have him on the show, but he's not rapping right now, man. He's kind of fed up with the game. You can't blame him. Hopefully he comes back because he's real lyrical. So this one here is called Blown Away, man. We'll be right back. Don't go nowhere.
Saigon. Stick man, dead presidents. Blown away. Could be any one of us. I pour some water on the ground for the soldiers that's fallen. Those who paid the ultimate price when they answer their calling. To all the martyrs that we lost as a people in common. You got blown away, but you didn't go in vain. Two examples of change on the front line of the battle. Brothers like Bunchy Carter stood up and rolled when it mattered. Was it a hidden agenda? Was it Milana Karinga? He got blown away, still unknown today. John Lennon and Gandhi both were proponents of peace. Spiritual message they taught, millions of people they reached. Still the devils amongst plotted the dark and the light. Both got blown away, so bearing this block is my right. Is there a message encoded deep in the violent display? Rendering people afraid, keeping the movement at bay. COINTELPRO is alive, still to discourage the rise. Leaders get blown away, the media covers our eyes. Modern day genocide, what hope is there for tomorrow? Whether it's vertical or the violence is horizontal. I lost too many cousins, but was it the bullets that took you? Or was it the situation society put you? So I rally for peace, still I carry my peace. I keep it free of debris, I keep it all in Greek. They say it's freedom of speech, but just watch what you say before your face on a shirt, like he got blown away.
I knew a rapper that just rhymed up his openness rhyme, but heard a dead press record that opened his mind. You know what happened the second he pressed play?
He got blown away.
This other kid had never listened to S to the A. Yesterday I gave him a couple records to play. He heard clapping the shit that I did with Trey.
He got blown away.
I poured some Henny on the floor for every young boy murdered in Baltimore, Watts to Little Rock, Arkansas, Philadelphia, D.C. to Chi-Town, and every other ghetto where niggas get shot down. The drama's pitiful, little niggas is homicidal. We ignore the fact that all the crime is political. When somebody's blown away, somebody's going away. Prison population inflating, the shit grow every day. It's usually us that's occupying the Rikers bus. It's more than a slight injustice, this shit is a crisis, cuz 350 million guns in the United States. Y'all calling my music conscious, I'm calling it wide awake. The ghettos that I escaped, a lot of others succumb. It's hard when your pops a crackhead and your mother's a bum, and you discover the slum is not a place you should stay. The only way to leave there is for you to get blown away. I knew a rapper that just rhymed up his openness rhyme, but heard a dead press record that opened his mind. You know what happened the second he pressed play?
He got blown away.
This other kid had never listened to S to the A. But yesterday I gave him a couple records to play. He heard clapping the shit that I did with Trey.
He got blown away.
Now what the fuck was that shit? That was garbage. Real Yachty is better than that guy, man. No.
Real shit.
That's lyricism, you know what I'm saying, at its best, you know what I'm saying? That's right up there, you know what I'm saying, towards the top of the pyramid of hip hop, man. You know what I'm saying? Right at the top is cats like him, cats like K Reno, of course, Mortal Technique. There's a lot of dope MCs out there, that's really spitting. You know what I'm saying? It's important, the lyrics, you know, it's crazy. If you look at what the degeneration of hip-hop has become, first they got rid of the DJ. They started getting rid of the art, you know what I'm saying? They definitely got rid of the clothes. I don't know what the fuck these motherfuckers are wearing nowadays. Now they're getting rid of the lyrics. What's left after that? Just some dudes mumbling like they're speaking in tongues at some type of a freaking holy roller church with rattlesnakes and weird fucking hair. I don't know, guys. We're in for a long haul here. But as long as we keep playing music like that, we're good. You know what I'm saying? We're good. When did you first, Brandon, when did you first notice that there was going to be a serious problem in hip hop?
Oh, man. Dude, I guess I was telling you this last night, but it's like I was locked up, right? So I didn't have a choice but to listen to mainstream hip-hop. Like, we got twice a week we got to listen to satellite radio. So we got to hear some stuff that wasn't really played, you know what I mean? Like on BET and shit, you know what I mean? And,
you know,
I saw the decline, man, because before, I mean, like, all the dance music, like, you know, just like the happy club dance movement, that shit's been here forever, man. Like Kid and Play was huge when Rakim was around. And you never heard anybody say Kid and Play is better than Rakim, you know? And then, like, when people like D4L and them Franchise Boys, when they had their thing going on, everybody knew what that was. Like, they were coming. They had a hit record. You knew they weren't going to be here 10 years from now. Like, you knew what it was. And we didn't hate that shit. We just, if you didn't like it, you didn't like it, because there was still a variety of other shit out there. No, you never heard them Franchise Boys say, fuck NWA, fuck Public Enemy. You know what I mean? Like, they just came, made their money, and they got out of the fucking way. But while that was going on, you still had other shit to listen to. But then I started to notice it. Like I remember seeing Saigon, who we just played. I saw his video on in the middle of the night on BET. And I'm like, that is a world premiere. And I'm like, nice. Like, finally Saigon's album's coming out. You know, shit's going to blow up. Because he had a nice, like, buzz going on, like, the mixtape shit. Like, all the big rappers was shouting him out. He had songs with all the big rappers and shit. And then, like, next thing I know, like, the whole top 10 on BET was like, Soulja Boy. And, like, all that type of shit. And then, like, he had another record with Styles P. And I'm like, oh, this shit's hard. It's, you know, it's going to blow up. I seen it one time. And, like, I just started to notice, like, wait, man, where did Saigon go? Where did Papoose go? Where did, you know, like, there was a list of people that I knew were dope as hell. And all, like, the legends of hip-hop were supporting these dudes. And out of nowhere, they were gone. And I'm like, and then, like, I'd read about them, and their album never dropped. Or they got dropped from their record label. And all of a sudden, everything was the same. Like, you know what I mean? It was everybody... It's just what you got going on. And what you just said, like, I watched it happen. Like, I watched it go from the lyrics were important to, okay, we need lyrics and good beats. And then for a moment, there was a bunch of rappers just surviving off of good beats, because with technology, people had more to work with. And there was some, I heard a bunch of songs that had these dope-ass beats, but if you listen to the lyrics weren't saying nothing. They were just riding the beat.
I got money, and then I got just swag.
Yeah. And then,
bullshit, basically, but dope
beats.
Yeah,
and then and you just said, what's next? What's left for them to take? Well, like, I just posted something today. Like, the new thing in hip-hop is, how many of these new little rappers you hear, they want to be rock stars? Like, the most popular song right now, I don't even want to say what it is, because I fuck that song. But in the video, the dude's wearing a Marilyn Manson t-shirt. And he's the same dude that was disrespecting DJ Premier a couple months ago. So it's like, they don't even care about hip-hop anymore. Like, they don't even care about it. They don't care what these dudes are saying about them. They don't care.
Yeah, they don't care about those before them. That's real shit. It's disgusting, but what you're doing, though, not to cut you off, what you're doing, you're showcasing, you know what I'm saying, a lot of artists, along with Living Dead Productions, Scratch, LDP, the homie D-Pain. You got this cipher. You guys chose a deep cover beat, man. What made you guys want to choose this? And tell us about this whole cipher, man.
At first, I wanted Scratch to make a beat. Because he's a hell of a producer. I'm like, man, make a fucking beat, and let's get a bunch of people on it. And he's like, nah, man, let's do something classic, man. And you know, he convinced me that the cover was the right way to go, and it was. It was probably the best choice, because everybody knows that shit. But the whole point of the song was just to make a dope song. Nobody asked for money. We're not selling it. When the song's released, it's everybody's song. Like, everybody can have it. I just told them, the only rule is nobody can sell it. You know what I mean? Nobody can put it on their album and sell it. Like, you know what I mean? But the only ulterior motive I had in the whole thing was I wanted to hear Caliber 007 with Monte Cristo, with Fresh Style, with Exit On. Like, I picked my favorite fucking rappers, and Scratch picked his favorite rappers, and we got them all on the fucking track together. That's the only thing about it. That's the only hidden agenda, is that we just wanted to hear our favorite rappers do a song together. You know what I mean? So it's free. It'll be out next Tuesday. And I've only heard the people that I've got, I've only heard those verses. And everybody killed it. Everybody. Caliber killed it. Exit killed it. Fred Stive. Everybody. Super Smash Brothers did a good job on it too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, let me shout out Super Smash Brothers real quick, man, because they always support UGS for life. They're artists.
Yeah, shout out to Super Smash Brothers. Still the featured artist over at UGSforLife.com. Go click on the link and you can go to the page that tells about them and go to all their social media links. How did you meet them guys?
Yeah, they got a new album. Yeah, they got a new album coming out in a couple of days. I think it's the second.
Hotlight City.
They got Project Born, Mastermind. They got all kind of people on it, man. They put a lot of work into it. So shout out to those guys, man. They always show some love and everything, you know. But, yeah, man, so the deep cover thing, it's going to be dope, man. Like, we, you know, Scratch spent a lot of fucking time putting it together. And, really the credit really belongs to him, because he's the one that actually did the work. Like, all I did was message some people and send some emails. Like, the artist deserved the credit, because I really, all I did was contact. He put the song together, they recorded the verses. So, but it's dope, trust me. All the verses I've heard, you've heard most of them, Fred. They're fucking good, man. Like, everybody's gonna love this fucking song, man.
The stuff I heard, yeah, is everybody brought the heat. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking forward to it. Shout out to Scratch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, this dude's a beast on the graphics, too. If you guys want graphics, you know, UGSforLife.com, hit up Scratch, man. We're gonna be debuting that here on the 7th. You know what I'm saying? We got a show with Homie Caliber 007. And then we're gonna debut the Cypher after his interview, which is actually his birthday, too, that day. So, you know what I'm saying? It's a birthday show. Why not? You know what I'm saying? It'll be a dope show, and then plus we'll be able to bring on some people and chop it up, you know, some of the people that were on the Cypher. You know, it's going to be a good show. We're looking forward to that. Once again, brother, thank you for everything you do over here and everything you do in hip-hop in general, man. Not just for us, man. The stuff you do for... homies like Exit Only, Monte Cristo, you know, Caliber, you know, Dez of Hellborn, all these great dudes, man, Jack Frost, Detroit, Kay Reno.
You support
a lot of people, man.
Yeah, man, but
real
talk. I mean, it's UGS for life, though. Like, that's what, I mean, I've never been so fucking proud of anything in my fucking life, man. And, like, what you guys have done, like, you and Mac J, like, Mac J, I tell Prez this all the time, man, like, you're made for this shit. Like, you're show on Saturday is fucking dope. Like, I called in last week. I know I joined the show at the end, but you can ask Prez. I'm like, man, my internet's fucked up. I just want to listen to this shit. Like, that show's fucking dope. And you asked those
right
questions.
Right
on this show and shit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just happy to fucking... You know, I'm more than happy to take a back seat to you guys, man. I'm just happy to be in the fucking car. You know what I mean? Because you guys, man, like, I couldn't be prouder, man. Like, for real, I'm honored that I even fuck with you guys, man. That's real shit.
We're honored to
keep glad,
team,
man.
Brother. You know?
Like me and Prez said a long time ago, we just going to keep, you know, it's been a lot of motherfuckers that was on the train, man. Either they got pushed the fuck off or they hopped off on their own, but, you know, the train keep going. You know what I'm saying? So if you enjoy the ride, then me and Prez been enjoying the ride. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we keep going. Tonight
we
started off a whole week
man,
of
we
double episodes, nope. Suit. You know?
And it's, I mean, shit, Mac, you've been down since episode 2. You know what I'm saying? Here we are, 300 and I don't even know. Let me go to the board. 345. I got to look at this shit. So shout out to you, Mac J, for everything you do. Check out the homie's live videos too, man. Every night before the show, you know what I'm saying, go to his page, Justin Adams. Check out the live videos he puts up to promote the show.
Just be fucking off.
Music show page real soon. Also live from the alley. Mac's got a lot of shit going on.
Yes, indeed.
See,
that type of shit
be
getting me excited, Prez. You know what I'm saying? Like, see, that's the perfect thing about UGS, though, because, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's the freedom to express yourself. Everybody showing love, it just gives you motivation to keep doing shit, even when you don't want to do it sometimes. It'd be like, fuck it, we got to do this shit. You know what I'm saying? Why
Nobody
not? You be sitting around not doing fucking nothing. At least we doing something.
And
we ain't trend chasing either. That's what's cool about this shit too. It's all original ideas and shit that we come up with our own. We interview who the fuck we want to. We ask the questions that we want to fucking ask, and we do it how we want to do it. If people choose to come on the show, cool. Like what we do. Every now and then we might get a dry interview. You know, somebody might not be feeling good or what for whatever reason, but we keep it rolling, man.
Yeah,
Prayer's a roasting motherfucker too.
You got to throw them all day. Jonathan, man, the Juggalo kid, man. What's up, John?
Yeah, yeah. What's up, family?
What's up,
John? How
you
guys doing? Who's
doing
on there right now?
Man, thank you for calling into the show.
Yeah, for sure.
Hey, man, you missed Rude Boy, man.
That's whack. Yeah. I just got off work.
Look, man, he did a dope-ass interview, though, man. I'll send you the link for sure, man. He did a dope-ass interview with us, though.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so does the homie Brandon, man. They both killed it. Hell of a show tonight.
Nice.
You're gonna enjoy it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And tomorrow you're gonna enjoy tomorrow's show too, because we got the homie 3 of Lynch Mob. He's also gonna bring on producer Chili Chilla Lynch Mob. You know what I'm saying? Then we got MC
nice.
Mac. You know what I'm saying? Both
nice,
on the
nice.
Same show, man. You know, some Memphis shit mixed with some Los Angeles, South Central shit. Can't go wrong. Then the next
day,
we got Jack Frost out of Detroit, followed by 20 to Life out of Houston. Thursday, we got the homie MC Juice out of Chicago, followed by Faded out of L.A. Then Friday, we're gonna cap it off with Mr. Servon, followed by the homie First Degree D.E. Right here at UGSForLife.com. Brandon, I want to thank you again, man, for coming on the show. Not only as a, you know what I'm saying, one of the crew, but also as a guest tonight, man. It was an honor to interview you. I'm glad Mac J thought of that, man. It was a real good idea, Mac. Shit, man. Might as well. We interviewed Mac. Mac's in the archive. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. So that's why I was like, shit, we might as well add Brandon. Like, we was looking for a second part of the show anyway, because basically y'all just kicked off a special week of all double episodes all week. You're going to get two legends and pioneers every day of the goddamn week. And I said, shit, why not just add Brandon to the archive? Yeah, I knew you was going to say what you said. Oh, man, I already got interviewed, but you didn't get interviewed on the Murder Master Music Show. And now you entered the archive with the rest of the legends and pioneers, man, because the shit that
you Brandon,
do is
you
what's making
do
you become a legend in your damn self, man.
I appreciate you.
You a legend
kinda
yourself.
I had to talk you into it a little bit, but thank you, man, for being our guest, man. We really appreciate that. And also thank you for bringing the homie Rude Boy on the show tonight. You know what I'm saying? I hope everybody support Rude Boy. I hope he gets to feeling better real fast, man. You heard it. It's real. It's the homie had triple bypass. You know? So it's serious shit. I encourage everybody, like you said, you know, get yourself checked out, man.
He a real dude too, though, man. Like what he said on the show, that was real shit. I hit him up. He's like, yeah, and I'm like, look, man, I'm aware of all the negative shit going on. I ain't gonna bring it up. If you want to talk about it, go ahead. He's like, man, if the listeners want to know it, ask me the question. I'm an open book. That's exactly what he said. And then he's a real dude.
shout out to the Rude Boy, man.
Like, man. You know, and
yeah, shout out to
the Rude Boy. Yeah, and the other night, he was kind of dry with the interview, you know what I'm saying? But he was, if you want to hear a dope interview that we did with him, go back in the archive. We have another show with him. And who knows, he might not have been feeling good that night. But tonight, Rude Boy was a hell of an interview, man. Hell of a, I didn't know what to expect out of him because I never interviewed him before. One of our dopest guests, that's for sure.
Yeah, you cool as hell, man. That was fun.
Hell yeah, man. Well, before we get out of here, Brandon, is there anything you want to say? You want to plug anything or shout anyone out or anything like that? The floor is yours, brother.
I already shouted everybody out, man, that I wanted to, man. For real, I just want to tell everybody, man, like, the reason people fuck with me is just because I'm doing what you should be fucking doing if you claim that you support shit. I shouldn't stand out. Support this shit. And if you don't, then you can't complain about all the dumb shit that's going on because you're not doing nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what the fuck they're playing. You know what I mean? I'm too busy listening to real shit. So just step your fucking game up and UGSForLife.com is the right place for you. There's something, if you only like West Coast shit, there's a bunch of interviews from the West Coast legends in it. Like, just come to the fucking team, check the site out, and that's it, man. Like, fucking support this shit, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's the right shit to support. You're not support. You don't get no dumb shit here, man. It's real shit all through the fucking archive. You're the only one that fucking talks about K. Reno dropping 7 fucking albums on one day. You know what I mean? Like, and that's hip-hop fucking history. That's not even hip-hop history. That's music history. No one's done that. So you get the real shit here. So just UGS for life, and you'll find everything there, man.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. With that being said, we will see you guys tomorrow night, like I said, with the Lynch Mob, followed by MC Mac. And don't forget, every Saturday night, 9 p.m. Central, check out Mac J, Velvet Rose Underground Saturday night. Sunday night, you know you got the Church of Reality, 9 p.m. Central. Same place, www.ugsforlife.com. We're getting out of here.
B, I break building like Bin Laden, break.
You.
I pop a pussy person for purposely perpetrating. Point the pistol and bullet, this punk is impersonating. My people pack P89 for prime time. They paroling my posse, I'm picking up pom-poms. Personally, I preach prophecy. These folks putting up homes about pimping, pushing, and property. Please, people ain't prepared to be persuaded by political paraphrases they printing in them papers. I'm positioning my peers to pump, pump. Put the pound to the bigger, just let the pump, pump. I pause for you people to peek the letter P. Poetically putting the paragraph so perfectly. No, I ain't a P-I-M-P, but I do got a pistol in my pocket. What? Perpetrating, I pop it. Prince, my pit bull, go ahead, Ryan Petty. See if you don't leave this place in the paramedic. Pump, peep it. I got my peoples in a place for me. Hey, yo, Cool G Rap, come pee on these punk ass
niggas. Nah, I put it to you with pain, I put it to you plain. I pop every passenger on the Pan Am plane. People call me crackpot, cause I put packs on the pot. Pop on the block, get it poppin' like pop. I was placed in the PJs, no pots to pee in. I can P.O. with my P.O., gave me pots to pee in. I got pins placed in the pins, 3 cases pinning. I will penetrate through your chest plate, no player pretending. Your preschool poets are pitiful, you playing with no principle. Put out public school, I put a pencil in the principal. Keep bogging my premeditators, palming my penis. You probably with my poem, participate with some penis. I fought through your peoples like pardon, pause, or problem. They probably plenty praying, a plane playing problem. Make police park cars, snap pictures of parts of them. Full punks, pop pellets, you punks was a part of them. Period.
Motherfucker. He's back, nigga. Cool G Rap. Bruh, I'm bringing him back. Fuck niggas want to do, nigga. Saigon up in his bitch. Pee on y'all, nigga. That's how you pee on a nigga. Bruh, we ain't got to sit on y'all, nigga. We pee on y'all, bitch ass, nigga. Cool G Rap, nigga. Saigon. Just blaze on the beat, bitch. Right. Get us out of here.